You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
All right, so we're live on Facebook. This is 1 Million Cups Appleton. Welcome, everybody, and thanks for being here today. We have a local presenter from the Appleton area, although correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I know that our presenter today was a part of the EC program at Fox Valley Technical College in the Venture Center. So we're excited to learn about this business and welcome Matt from Green Elf. Matt, take it away.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Andrew. My name is Matthew Emmer. I am one of the owners, there are three of us, of Green Elf. It started out originally as Lawn Doctors. We, however, had to change our name. I suppose I should back up a second. It started as just fertilizing lawns and stuff like that. And then it progressed because of our certifications and stuff to removing invasive species around wetlands. Some municipalities, the name Lawn Doctors didn't really encompass everything we did. So we had to change our name on that. So it does everything. I guess I should have started, you know, I'm a veteran. I'm a little bit unprepared. We've been super busy this summer, so I had to put this off for a while. But yes, so we take care of invasive species. We're more transitioning to that. There's a bigger need, a bigger market. It's not as tight as the lawn fertilization. We still do both. We help with wetland mitigation. We are linked in with other businesses that do certain things with the wetlands. We can take care of the other parts to remove and mitigate problems so the wetlands can be restored properly, naturally, so they function as they are intended to do, to remove pollution, to allow ecological balance, so there can be nesting, there can habitat for certain animals, mammals, fish. And we work a lot for municipalities now is where it's leaning to, and they usually actually pay for the private properties to be taken care of, whether it's county or city. And so we've been branching out into a lot of that. I don't have any good slides or anything to show you. I can open it up for questions. As like I said, I was a little unprepared today. It's been crazy, but I can certainly clear up any questions you may or may not have.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks thanks for being here, and it's awesome to learn a little bit about your business. And I love what you're describing, like your pivot over to the wetlands. What would you call that? Like, is it wetlands management? Is that what you'd say, or what is like the industry term?
Well, it depends which part you're going through. Like one of my business partners, he owns a different business where they're wetland delineators. So they help, whether it's building, restoring wetlands to their proper balance. A lot of farm fields took over wetlands, and they just don't grow crops as well, but they're trying to turn that back into wetlands. But what you need to do is you need to get rid of all the invasive species. You got to allow the natural stuff to come back. So our company goes to get rid of the invasives, and then that way the natural stuff can come back, overtake, and then it's a proper functioning wetland. It helps, you know, our part, they do mitigation. We do invasive control, and it's all in congruence with each other that it's one big functioning cell.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Do you know the guy that you're talking about, your partner? Did he come on 1 million yeah. cups for us? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Ben, I was just going to ask if you knew that guy, because it sounded like you were right in the same.
Yeah. We've known each other for over 20 years. We both got out of the army at the same time, and then we started college on the same day and went to school for the same stuff. So
nice. Yeah. I was going to say, it would be weird if we had two wetland companies in 1 million cups this year and you guys didn't know.
Right. No, it works out really well though, because they don't do what we do, He could. They just don't have time for it, just like we don't have time to do what they do. So it works out well. He's got his hand in both ends of it, which is good for him. But it works out well because they need us and we need them.
Yeah.
So the transition to doing this wetland stuff from just doing fertilizing, was that because there's just really no competition in this market that it became what you do? Or was it that it's more lucrative to be on this side of it? What made that transition happen?
Well, it was those two, as well as just a need. They needed somebody to do this and we were qualified to do it. There aren't as many people who do that. So we're like, well, yeah, we'll take it on. So we started with one. We have four municipalities we do now, and they really love what we've done. We started with a little, and then the word of mouth has started to travel. And then also with the different mitigation and stuff that Evergreen does, they continue to need more work. So we keep picking up what they need to do for their jobs. And it just kind of snowballed. And the fertilizing, there's competition. It's not too bad. It just, it's not like cutting grass competition, where, you know, kind of anybody can go out and do that. Not that it's easy, but you know, there's just a lawnmower, but you need more certifications to fertilize. So we still want to continue that. And I mean, our ultimate goal is if it got big enough, you know, we could sell off the fertilizing part or just keep hiring people and, take that as it comes once it gets to that point.
Gotcha. So you're not looking at some point, just now this wetlands thing is big enough that we'll just kind of abandon the fertilizing thing. You still want to keep that kind of going.
If it continues to grow, we'd like to keep it, but we would hire people to do that part. The other side is far more lucrative and far less competition. I mean, if it was up to me and it kept growing that way, I would just cut out the fertilizing, but it makes sense to keep it too. So it's trying to stay balanced as well as have multiple options, because there are sometimes slow points and different things, and that's just regular steady stuff coming in all the time.
How big is your team, Matt?
We have 5 people. And we pretty much only really, obviously with fertilizing that, most of it is just the warm months, you know, roughly May, maybe April a little bit through October is pretty much the season we have. And then there's nothing in winter, you know, except planning. There's a lot of mapping and meetings and stuff like that. But as far as work, there's really not much to be done in the winters, just planning out for the spring and a lot of surveying and stuff like that, the sites and getting a lot of GIS information done and ready to go.
Cool.
Matt, can you share a little bit on your journey from the eSeed program and kind of how that, you know, if you look back now, is there a couple key points that came out of the eSeed program that really helped you get going? And then how has it gone since then? Are there pieces you've used since then looking back? I guess I'm interested in that perspective.
Sure. We actually started before the eSeed program. The fertilizing started, this would be the 4th year. And then as far as the wetland stuff, this is our 2nd full year of doing that type of thing. And then I did the eSeed program this spring. I had heard about it and I was like, well, that, you know, networking, there's always stuff you can learn and just different things that sometimes you just don't think of, or you don't know what you don't know, and ideas to help it grow. And so we took, actually all 3 of us took that course this spring. So there's different things. It was a little bit of a challenge in the middle when we switched from the in-class to, because you did a lot of small group stuff, which was really easy to brainstorm and work on stuff. And then switching to video, there was some kinks, and eventually it got going again. But I think one of the biggest things is talking with other people from different industries and ideas and businesses where they were heading, and they come up with stuff that you're never even thinking of because you're sort of in that tunnel of what you do instead of the outside thoughts. Amy was a great resource for so many ideas when we just had questions of things that we weren't even aware you could do, you know, the resources to look up your industry competition, where you can go, and then other resources to help you build and where it goes from there.
And you had a business plan before going to the eSeed program, or did that help you build one?
It helped us build it. I forgot what it was, where we start and you kind of branch out both sides, you know, for to get it to marketplace and stuff like that. That was a really neat way to break it down. We did have a business plan before. This definitely helped detail it out and break it down into a more manageable load instead of, you know, broke it down into individual parts, and each of us can take on a part of that that matches our strengths instead of all three of us just kind of hammering away down a straight line like railroad tracks. It kind of breaks it up and really lets us focus on what our strengths are.
Amy led your session?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Matt, can you talk about kind of how you founded, I guess, was it all three of you that founded Lawn Doctors 4 years ago, or was it just you? And can you talk about how that grew, kind of when you brought on employees, when you felt the need, just kind of how that personnel growth periods worked out for you?
Yeah. It started, Joel and I started Lawn Doctors, and Ben, Joel and I were about to start it. And then Ben was like, I'd actually like to get on that too. And we've been friends forever and just always talking. And, so he wanted to get in on it. So we're like, awesome. So we pooled in our money, got it started, started with some advertising, picked up some from people we knew. That first year with fertilizing was just, kind of hodgepodge, so to speak, you know, did what we could do. And then all of a sudden a lot of neighbors started coming over because they liked the way they were looking. It started building. So the next year we were able to advertise quite a bit, market towards specific neighborhoods and areas. So you kind of build your, instead of traveling all over, you know, it saves if you can fertilize four lawns with one stop as opposed to driving 2 miles every way. So then as we got going in the certifications, Ben realized we were able and capable of doing work they needed done. So we transformed into doing that more, which is a lot bigger jobs. It is more lucrative. And then as we got more into that, we needed people to do the fertilizing. And then there are times we need people to help with our other stuff too, depending which stage of the removal we are in, or growth stage for the wetlands or the banks and rivers and stuff like that, whatever needs to be done. So we do have people doing that for us as well.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
See any crazy animals when you're out there in the wetlands?
No duck-billed platypuses. I wish I would see one of those in the wild sometime, but I think I'm in the wrong area of the earth for that. Unless I get a job in the zoo, maybe. You see a lot of stuff though. I mean, see a lot of deer, you know, it's amazing how, cause you're in thick stuff. Sometimes they just jump up right in front of you, whether it's fawns or whatever. All your natural stuff, lots of ducks, frogs, see the fish. You're always there. They're up on the shore. Yeah, no crazy wildlife stories. Wish like a tiger would pop out one day and really make it exciting.
See a lot of snakes.
Some, yeah.
Okay. That would be the part where I count me out. I'd be able to do everything, but as soon as I saw a snake, I'd be giving you my notice. So
yeah, those snakes are afraid. It's not like in the swamps in the south where their water moccasins coming in.
Yeah. Yeah,
geez. That'd be a few snapping turtles out there, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Yep, there's turtles, lots of turtles.
Out of curiosity, since your business is so seasonal, has there been any talk about possibly doing something to cover in the winters to give your employees something to do, or you don't have any focus on that? Okay.
No, there's early on, there's equipment maintenance, and then it's just nice to enjoy some downtime. You know, the people we have working for us enjoy some downtime too. And the way it works out is pretty good because they aren't looking for 40 hours a week. They're looking for something to do for their time. They want the money, they need it, but they also aren't to that point where they have to or want that. And a lot of those businesses are seasonal. So we do have other stuff we can do in winter with them, but most of them enjoy their time off with their families. They have kids in school and it's just time to get through the holidays and hang out and wind down because summers are busy. And a lot of times it's dark to dark.
Do you find it, is it difficult at all to, like, you find like you go through a lot of people to find those people that are content with that kind of structure?
No, people who've known us and actually got people asking us to work for us. So we just, as we grow, we'll be able to take more, and they know the situation and it works for them. Some of them are stay at home dads, you know, and summer is easier for them to get away. And then they have kids in school. And as the spring is a little slower and the fall is slightly slower, but in summer they can do their thing and make hay when the sun shines. And, it is seasonal stuff. And a lot of people are aware of that. Some guys do handyman work over winter, help build and, demo stuff. I have a couple of friends who buy houses and flip them in winter. And I know some of my guys help with that. So,
cool.
But nothing that anybody, we haven't run into that situation yet where we have to have people. It's just, we've been real fortunate knowing people who want to work, I guess, part-time.
Cool. Do we have any other questions?
Would you have any, like, just thinking back to when you hired your first person, would you have any recommendations for anybody else looking to hire their first person?
Oh boy. That is a really good question because you just never know what you're going to get. We've been lucky because we've hired people. Everybody we've hired, we know already. So we're pretty aware of their strengths, weaknesses, and how they are as people, as well as work ethic and stuff like that, and what they're looking for. We haven't had to put out an ad to hire anybody yet. So as far as if you're hiring someone you don't know, I really don't have good advice for that because we've been fortunate enough to hire people we do know. You just have to make sure you can be the boss and they do what they have to do. You can still be friends and do everything, but you do have to make sure the job gets done. It has to get done right. And it has to get done on time.
I think your advice would be to hire somebody, you know, right?
Well, yeah, but that could also be the biggest nightmare too. I've seen that, you know, if you're mature about it, everybody can get along great. But sometimes when there's people aren't good at communicating, that can make a friendship turn sour real quick.
Yeah, I was just going to say that sounds more challenging in that regard. Things I've heard in the past is that trying to bend that friendship or family dynamic into a work relationship is certainly a challenge, and it sounds like it's worked out for you.
Yes, it has, and been very fortunate with that. Very fortunate.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Well, if there are no more questions, the final question at 1 Million Cups is always, you know, what can the community do for you, Matt?
I guess if you guys know anybody in municipalities who need Phragmites or other invasive species removed from wetlands, let us know at Green Elf. We'd love it.
Awesome. What did you say? Phragmites?
Phragmites. That is the primary thing we remove. That's one of the main things that take over the wetlands. You'll see them along, where do you live? Are you Appleton?
Appleton, yeah.
If you look along the highways where there's ditches where it's wet and you see like those 12 to 15 foot, like look like tall plants, they get great big seed pods in towards the end of the year. Those are Phragmites. They're actually quite impressive. If they were an animal, they would be like a lion because they choke out every other living thing. They get so dense that birds can't nest in them. The ducks can't nest in them. Amphibians can't get in there to do their stuff. The eggs, the mammals can't get through there eventually. And then it takes out all the food sources, fills in the wetlands, like all those water retention ponds. So they spend millions digging these, lining them, and it fills it in their roots. It takes it over, and then it can't drain properly. So that's what we keep removing and killing.
Interesting. All right. I'll have to take a look next time I'm on 41. So
yep, you'll see them. And then if you ever get to Green Bay along the bay, especially the southern end, you see just it's endless and it's thick. They're dark green. And yeah, they choke out cattails, even though cattails technically are invasive, but we seem to like those more.
Gosh. And one quick question. Who's your target customer? Sounds like it's municipalities, but any
government, the government would be, as far as that goes, the government is our best, because a lot of counties, like for instance, my dad lives in Manitowoc County, and there's a company that a lot of counties hire a company to take care, and then say, like my dad has Phragmites on his property. He just calls the county, they send out that company, and the county pays them. So whether it's cities, townships, counties, the state, you know, the DOT, I don't discriminate. As long as they have Phragmites they want gone or other invasives, I'm your guy.
Awesome. Well, hey, Matt, thanks for the time today. Thanks for being here, sharing your story and about your business. It's great to see a business find a niche like you guys and just dominate. So you're invasive, it sounds like. So that's great. Thanks, everyone, for being here for 1 Million Cups this week. And we'll see you next week. We do have another presenter lined up for next week. So we will be back, and we're still looking for, right, Eric, we don't have anything after next week currently.
That's correct. Yeah.
So, if you know any businesses that, would like to present, feel free to pass them on over to 1millioncups.com/Appleton. So awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker, and thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.